Welcome, everyone. Good to see you guys. If this is your first time with us, my name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. I see a lot of you fanning yourself this morning. We are working on that. When the doors open on the front door, it gets kind of hot in here, so it will get cooler as we move throughout service.
Why are you not sweating?
Champ, I don't know.
Why are you not sweating? It's horrible.
You're sweating like a champ. You're doing good, though.
I'm detoxifying.
This is... If this is your first Sunday, you really did pick a great Sunday to check out Bethel, because Pastor Richard and I are going to be talking about really one of the heartbeats of Bethel Community Church. There's a lot that's going on in our nation right now. A lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of people lifting their hands. What do we do about what's happening? And obviously what we've been seeing the past couple of months on our television, you know, a lot of it's just been, you've seen it is people asking questions, is racism alive still in America? And obviously it is. But here at Bethel, we believe that there is an answer. Because when I talk to black people and other ethnic groups, really, they feel hopeless. And I talk to white people feel helpless. But the good news today, and you need to hear this loud and clear, is that we are not hopeless.
Good.
And we are not helpless.
Amen.
We are not hopeless and we are not helpless.
That's
now,
great.
You may feel that today. This is why Pastor Rich and I are going to speak to you today, because we're going to build hope.
Good.
We're going to build faith and confidence that there is an answer.
And
we have to believe that there is an answer.
That's right.
There is an answer to solve the problem of racism in our nation.
Amen.
And so we want to help you today to be kingdom-minded, because as you watch television, what can begin to happen is it produces a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of insecurity, a lot of hopelessness. And so when we begin to watch that, we got to remind ourselves that there is a God,
yes,
who sits on the throne and he is in charge.
That's right.
Why does stuff like this happen? It could happen so we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, can have an open door.
Amen.
So that we can arise and say, Jesus and his word,
amen,
is the answer. As we,
yes,
look around this building today, there are black people in here, there are white people in here, there are Hispanics, there are Mexicans, there's all colors up in here.
I think Mexicans are Hispanics.
Damn. Why are you publicly rebuking
me? Viva la Mexico.
When you look around, obviously there's an answer, because it's happening right here at Bethel Community Church. I mean, I am so thankful that my children attend a church where it's not just all a bunch of white people. That would be boring. White people are boring, champ.
Champ, my wife is white. She's not boring.
I know. Your wife, she's special.
Your wife is white. She is not boring.
Dee's not boring. But we're boring if that's all it is, just us.
That's true.
We need some color up in our boarding.
Black church is not boring.
Black church is never boring. That's true.
It's fun.
But I am so thankful that my children and your children attend a church where different ethnicities are walking together in true spiritual family. Amen?
Amen.
And what we have to do, if it can happen right here, we can take this to our community. We're going to talk about that. We're doing something, preparing for something in our community. It can go to our nation and it can go to our world. And so there is an answer and there is hope today. So what we're facing, though, really is not new. We've been facing this really for a long period of time. It started back in 1619. We saw it again in 1776, 1864, 1964, now, right now, in 2016. And so as we talk today, again, our heart, Pastor Richard and I, we want to encourage you. We want to build faith and confidence in you that no matter what we see on television, that God is doing something and he wants to do it through you and I. Isn't that right, Pastor Richard?
That's exactly right.
You going to sit down, champ?
I'm going to sit down.
All right, I will
too. Too hot to stand up.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Now, many of you may know and some of you may not know that Pastor Lance and I, we came back from the nation of Bolivia on Sunday. And while we were gone, America still has issues that were going on while we were there. And we began to talk about these things and really trying to figure out as a church, where do we stand? And
you know what the good thing was? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Champ, it's okay.
I forgot to tell you how good it was to room with you in Bolivia.
Champ, we did room together, didn't we? First time.
First time ever we roomed together. Here's why I love rooming. And I told Pastor Richard, the reason why I figured out I love rooming with a black man,
I thought you were going to say because I don't snore.
You did a little bit, champ, but I did too. So the reason why I love rooming with a black man is a black man
so silly
doesn't use white people shampoo.
Well, we do just a little bit of it.
See, as a white man, I love when I go to hotels, I get all the shampoo, ask my wife, and I dump it all out of my head, like every
it's
single
so weird.
Bit of it. And I didn't have to worry, was he going to use the shampoo, because I knew he had his own shampoo.
Go in the bathroom, all these empty bottles are everywhere.
See, that was so fun. I appreciate you letting me use all the shampoo.
That's what I do.
It was so Anytime. Awesome. That was awesome, champ.
Strong.
I'm going to room with you again.
Anyway.
All right, keep going.
So anyway, while we were down there, we began to talk about the issue of racism in America. And we came back and we knew that we had to speak out on this issue. And we're going to talk about some things that are very honest and very raw. And some of these things you may agree with and some you may not. But one of the things that we can't deny is that it is a problem in the United States. Matter of fact, the USA Today, they had an article not too long ago a story not too long ago, and it said that 52% of Americans believe that racism against black people specifically is extremely high and a very serious problem. And an additional 25% believe that it is somewhat of a problem. So 3 out of 4 Americans think that racism against black people is at least somewhat of an issue. So today we're going to take a look at not only the current situation that we're in, but we're going to talk about how we got to this situation.
Very good.
We didn't wake up in the America that we're in today without some things happening before we woke up. And we're also going to talk about what can be done to change it. Now, in a church this size, there is no doubt that we will be split on how we see some of the things that we're going to discuss today. But it is our hope that no matter what your view is, we will all see the same thing as the answer, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that he can offer, not just us, but the world.
Very good.
And we'll also let you know that 1 hour together today is not going to solve everything or change everything. But we do want you to know that we are planning something very special in the city of Clarksville. We are planning to have a night of hope where we really address this issue of black, white, and blue, where we invite the police, where we invite those outside of the church and the community, and we invite our governmental officials. And to be honest, this discussion needs to happen in our community in an effort to prevent from us being on the nightly news and having a special about the city of Clarksville. It also helped us to really live and celebrate this great city that we're in today. But the reality is like Pastor Lance said, racism is alive in 2016. It exists within the white community, but it also exists within the black community, in the African-American community, in the Hispanic community, the Asian community, and all communities of color. And that our Americanized version of racism and prejudice, it is not unique. A matter of fact, it exists all around the world. We experienced a little bit of it in the nation of Bolivia. See, the thing about Bolivia, Pastor Lance, is there are very, very fair-complected Bolivians. And then there are darker brown-complected Bolivians, and they don't like each other. The lighter-complected Bolivians, they believe that the darker-complected Bolivians originated more from Native Americans, so they look down on them. They don't think they're as progressive. They don't think they're as wealthy. And so there's this great chasm that exists in that nation. But we are not unique in the United States of America to believe that racism and our brand of racism only exists here. It really covers the earth.
Yeah, and even though that it does exist, we have to understand that really it's not a race problem that we have, it's a sin problem that we have.
That's good.
Racism, as believers and as kingdom-minded people, we have to see that racism is sin. Jesus hated racism. It's one of the things that he really got upset at the most. We think about the temple. When Jesus showed up in the temple one day, he actually showed up with a whip, and he began to turn over tables, and he began to swing that whip around. I'm sure it scared people half to death. And the reason why he did that is because what was happening in the temple was racism. There was a portion of the temple that was set up for Gentile believers. there was only one part of this temple that Gentile believers, everybody else besides Jews, all the other nations, could worship God. And God set up a sacrificial system where people would bring or purchase something to sacrifice, a bull or goat or something like that. And so one of the reasons why they were selling things in the temple is so that people didn't have to drag what they were going to sacrifice all the way from their home. It was a long way to walk to get to the temple. And so they would just sell those right here. That was okay. God allowed that. But the reason why Jesus got upset is they were selling them right where the Gentiles were supposed to be worshiping God. They were building up a wall because Jews did not associate with Gentiles, other nations. So there was a wall that was being built, in a sense, so they could not honor God and begin to worship God. Now, in Ephesians 2, what we see is Jesus, he came to tear down this barrier, this wall that divides Jew and every other ethnicity. And this is one of the major values that we have as a church, is this value of diversity. That we believe that the kingdom of God is not just one ethnic group, that it's every ethnic group actually walking together. So, Pastor Richard, it's important for us to be educated. This is one of the reasons why we're talking about this. Because when you're educated about what is going on, it gives you more compassion. And especially if you're white in this room. If you are white like me, we have to be educated on how we got here. Because again, like Pastor Richard said, this is a lot of years being built up on what we are experiencing right now in 2016.
You know, that's good. I think, you know, to be honest, I think all of us need to be educated. Most of us may know some facts and points about history, but not all of us know a lot of the main things that led us to the place where we are today. And so I want to talk about a few things that might bore you, but this is history. It excites me, Pastor Lance. And there has been a history, and I'm going to say this really, really clearly, but there has been a history of inconsistent systemic racism in our country. I'll say it again. There has been a history of inconsistent systemic racism in our country. And it started way back, Pastor Lance alluded to it, in 1619 with slavery in the United States of America. And that lasted all the way till around 1865 with the end of the Civil War. And the next thing I wanted to bring up is a person you may have heard of in history. His name is Dred Scott. There was a famous U.S. Supreme Court case that happened in 1865. And the U.S. Supreme Court basically said this in their decision, that no black person, free or slave, could claim U.S. citizenship. Therefore, black people were unable to petition the court for their own freedom, and essentially, Pastor Lance, relegating them down to being property. Property could not be free from its owners. And we fast forward to 1896. There was another Supreme Court decision in a case called Plessy versus Ferguson. And some of you may have heard of this one. This is where the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision that essentially said that separate but equal was constitutional. And this is where we get the Jim Crow laws all throughout the South that had separate water fountains, separate hotels, separate restaurants where black and white did not mix. We fast forward to 1932. There's a little town in Alabama called Tuskegee. Some of you may have heard of the Tuskegee Airmen, but this was actually a government study that was done on African-American men. And they basically were treated for syphilis, but they never gave them the cure. And so over 400 African-American men were diagnosed by the government with syphilis. In 1940, the cure, which was penicillin, was readily available, but they refused to give it to them simply so they could see what a longitudinal study of the effects of syphilis would do to the African-American men. And this lasted all the way to 1972. And now I would suggest that you take a pen and paper and you actually Google Tuskegee experiment and read some of this, and you will get a little bit of a glimpse why some African-Americans are very mistrusting of the government. And really, to be honest, why many African-Americans, especially in the older generation, don't go to hospitals, don't go to doctors, because there has been inconsistent systemic racism in our country. Now, bringing it forward to about 1980 or 1990, there was this thing called the crack cocaine versus powder cocaine debate. And essentially, it was this. There was a court case that, or a law that had determined that you should get a longer sentence for crack cocaine versus powder cocaine. But with this law, it disproportionately affected communities of color, and specifically African Americans, to get longer prison sentences for essentially the same drug. And so none of these things, now this is important, none of these things justify violence or hatred towards white Americans from African Americans. But in talking about these things, I hope they will help to paint the picture and tell the story how a lack of trust with the government against white people is not new, but it's been passed down from one generation to the next. But we do have good news, Pastor Lance. Somebody say yay for good news.
Yeah.
You guys like good news?
Yeah.
All right. The good news is that things are not as corrupt and overtly racist as they used to be. Things have actually gotten a lot better in the United States of America, and it's important for all of us, black, white, brown, whatever color you might find yourself, to acknowledge the fact that things are pretty good right now in the United States, despite the fact that there are still issues like racism that are still alive. This is how we know things are getting better. A few examples. I'm married to a white woman.
There you go.
Okay. America's not good because I'm married to a white woman, but America is good because I can marry a white woman. In 1967 and before, we could not get married. My wife and I, Shannon, couldn't get married. But there was another U.S. Supreme Court in 1967 called Loving versus Virginia. And then they reversed the ability for black and white to get married, or any ethnicity to get married. The fact that we have a black man as president, or to be specifically half black as president, means things have changed. The fact that we are in church together today of all backgrounds, all ethnicities, means that things have changed. The fact we can drink from the same water fountain, eat from the same restaurant, that we can stay at the same hotel, all these things mean that things have changed.
Tremendous, tremendous. But you know what? Even though things have changed, you're right though, Pastor Richard, but we still do have problems. And one thing that we want to really prevent from happening, really with us, because this is what we have control of as a church, is, Pastor Richard's talked about this before, is what begins to happen is you have a lot of white guilt, but you have a lot of white guilt versus a lot of black anger or other ethnicities being frustrated and upset. But guilt and anger and frustration, yes, they are real feelings. But those feelings being posted on Facebook, statements being made, they're not solving the problem. They're only hurting us when it comes to what we're trying to accomplish. It only begins to paint the picture in a broader way that there is no hope. But there is hope. And so us as believers, we have to, again, be kingdom-minded and take hold of the Word of God. We got to remind ourselves that Jesus' power is real. Amen. Jesus can transform hearts. He can change lives. He can cause ethnicities to walk together in true spiritual family. Amen. See, when we are born again, we're born again into a new family. Now, this is important, again, and I'm going to talk to white people a lot. White people, you okay with that? If you're not, you're going to have to be okay with it. I love you. And I thought about this earlier, Pastor Richard, and in first service, it just came to me, and I turned to Pastor Richard, and I just apologized to him. I said, as a white man, I want to apologize to you, even though Pastor Richard would never want me to do that. But I just needed to do that because it's so easy for me. And if you're white in here, and you think that this is not you, then you're lying to yourself. Because it's so easy for me as a white person to detach myself from what's going on. Because it doesn't impact me, it doesn't impact my wife, and it doesn't impact my children. And so it's easy for me just to go on about my own thing, my own, what I'm going through, and just forget about it. But I got to remind myself that I have another family besides the Phillips family. That's good. that I'm born again into God's family, Bethel Community Church. And when my brothers and sisters of other ethnic groups are hurting, then I got to learn how to hurt with them. Now, every one of us here, we're not good with hurting with one another. Just ask my wife. I'm awful at it. I can barely suffer and hurt with her. So how much more everybody else in here? And so I have to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to suffer with somebody besides myself. And if we are a true spiritual family, then we're going to suffer with one another. Not only are we going to suffer with one another, but praise God, we're also going to rejoice with one another. If we can suffer together, we can rejoice together. But rejoicing comes easy. It's the suffering part that's difficult. And so therefore, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can't allow myself to detach myself from what's going on, especially as a white man, especially as a white pastor. And so I want to thank you. If you are another ethnicity besides me in this church, I want to thank you for being here at Bethel. I truly do. Because even though that I am the lead pastor, but Pastor Richard and I, we run this thing together. Somebody's got to make the final decision. Somebody's got to be pointing the finger. That's his fault. I'll be the guy. I got here first. If you were hurt first, you would have been the guy, but I got here first. I was the guy.
You're the fall guy.
I am. But the truth is that we are a spiritual family. And I want to thank, if you're another ethnicity, because there are sacrifices that you make to be here. Truthfully, you do. There are some things that we do as a church, some maybe our sound or what things that we do and don't do that you necessarily maybe not like, but yet you love the vision and the dream of the black and the white hand, which represents not just black and white people, but all nations coming together. Right. And you're willing to make a sacrifice to see the dream happen. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Because this is what we need. We need this black and white hand. This is the answer, because this is a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It is a picture of what he's done for you and I. But Pastor Richard, there is differences. And I know you and your own family, you've experienced some of those. You and Shannon. Shannon just, anyway, go ahead. Just tell that story. That's tremendous. It's fun.
Well, many of the prejudices that we may have in our nation are based really on a lack of truthful information and images characterized by television and the news media. For example, my wife and I, she was from East Tennessee, I was from West Tennessee, and we met in Middle Tennessee. And she grew up not really having too much exposure to any community besides the white community. Matter of fact, in her high school, there were only two black people in her entire high school. when she went to church, there was only one white family that had adopted two black kids. That was her exposure from a spiritual family. And in her neighborhood, her entire neighborhood, there was only one African-American community. And so she was very limited in her experience with African-Americans, except from what she got from television.
Uh-oh.
Now, one of her favorite television shows growing up was Good Times.
There you go.
And so she learned a lot about black people from Good Times. A lot of the wrong things from Good Times. Like, for example,
Jim, one of my favorite shows. Jim, I got to tell you my favorite show.
Leave It to Beaver?
No. The only black and white show I ever really watch is Andy Griffith. Now, that is a white man show. But anyways,
there were
listen.
No black people in 20 years on Andy Griffin.
But my favorite brother show, champ, is It's a Different World.
That was not reality for me.
It's a different world
from where we come from. That was good. But
Pastor Richard said that's not a reality when it comes to
reality.
The black community.
Every black person in the world goes to school and becomes something great. That was a great dream, but I didn't see it in my life.
Champ, I just love that show.
So anyway, back to Good Times. So when she watched Good Times, she thought all black people lived in poverty and lived in the projects, because this is what she saw. She used to watch The Jeffersons. Great show. But she thought that all black people made fun of white people.
Yeah.
And she watched The Cosby Show, which is a great show, but I didn't know any black doctors. I didn't know any black lawyers. It didn't really portray the average African-American family. And so it wasn't until she moved to Middle Tennessee and started going to a diverse church she really started to see how people are. And that's one of the benefits that Pastor Lance alluded to. But being a part of a spiritual family means that any of the stereotypes any of the prejudices that we may have brought in from outside of the church, they can be extinguished when we do life together as a spiritual family. But the key is we have to do life together as a spiritual family.
That's so good. I just want to add on to that. You got to do it with your children as well. You have got to find other ethnicities for your children to be friends with. That's why sports is such a great place for your kids to be, because sports galvanize different ethnicities together. But if your kids do not play sports, then you got to go look for somebody. Is it going to be weird at the first? Yes, it's going to be. But every birthday party, I'm telling you, I do this, Pastor Richard. I tell my wife, all right, who's black? What black person is coming to this birthday party? Where are the Asians? Where are the Hispanics? Now, you may think that's weird, but if you don't choose to intentionally build this way, it's not going to happen.
That's true.
You've got to be intentional about it, friends. Find you. Just go to a, I know it's going to be weird to say, look, you're black, I'm white, or you're Hispanic, I'm white. Our kids need to play together. Let's make it happen. That's the only way it's going to happen, I
promise. You know, people laugh, but we do that in my family. I have four biracial children, and so we have to make sure we don't just let all black people, all white people around our home. We got to mix it up and find people that look like everything else that the world represents.
Good.
Now, we've talked about how we came from where we are, how we got here, but also what is the current situation? What really led us to talking about this today is really a buildup from what's happened over the last 12 months. We've seen on news media a lot the deaths of Eric Garner from New York, Michael Brown from Ferguson, Missouri, Tamir Rice from Cleveland, Freddie Gray from Baltimore, Alton Sterling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and so many more. But then we've also seen the deaths of police by black men. In the last month or so, we saw the death of five police officers in Dallas, Texas. Patrick Zamperia, Michael Kroll, Lauren Ahrens, Brent Thompson, and Michael Smith. And then a shooting not too long after that in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We saw the death of officers Montrell Jackson, Brad Garofalo, and Matthew Gerald. All of these things have been highlighted in front of our face on the news media and also in social media. And it's created this big, huge question mark of what is going to happen next in the United States of America.
And it produces a lot of fear. And this is why we got to go back to the Word. And remember I talked about that we can't allow ourselves to detach ourselves from this. And so here's the question, really, that I've been asking myself to help me stay attached. And really, this is a question that really, again, if you are white, you need to ask yourself. And it's this. How many white people in this room would be happy to be treated as this society in general treats its black citizens? How many white people in this room would be happy to be treated in this society in general as this society in general treats its black citizens? See, what that does for me is that puts me, in a sense, in another ethnicity. And it allows me to begin to, man, these are my brothers and sisters. And it begins to allow me to help, okay, Holy Ghost, help me suffer with them. Help me to engage with what they are going through. Because if I don't do this, I'm telling you, it's just being human. I'm naturally just going to draw my little circle and just think about myself and my little family. But as a kingdom man, as a Christian, not a pastor, but as a Christian, my circle is drawn around the world, not just myself. It's drawn around every ethnic group. Amen?
Now, he's talking to the white folk. I'm going to talk to the black folk, whatever that means. But it seems like, you know, and he doesn't see what's on my news feed on Facebook and on my social media. But when I look at the community around me, I see a black America that is yelling and screaming for white America to give legitimacy to them and to help make them matter. But the thing is that there are a lot of young African American men and women in many parts of our country that don't feel safe around police officers. Many black communities feel that they cannot trust those who are trusted to protect and serve them. And I just really want to take a couple of minutes and shine some light on the reality of a couple of things. The first thing is that there are about 300 million Americans. About 40 million of them are African American. And the odds, you might want to get a pen and paper to write this down so it'll make more sense, but the odds of a black man being shot by a police in the United States of America are 0. Add 5 more zeros and an 8%. It's highly unlikely. But because there were 325 deaths by African Americans at the hands of police officers last year in the United States of America, and each and every one of them almost is blasted all over the media, you would think that it happens all the time.
Right.
In reality is, it does not happen all the time. But if you look at over the same period of time last year, there were 500 white people who were killed at the hands of police officers in 2015. And so if you're white in here, the odds of you being killed by a police officer in the United States of America are 0.50 zeros, add that, and then a 3 at the end of it, of being shot by the police. And I say all this to sum it up. The odds of you being shot by the police and killed in the United States of America are slim to none. The odds of you knowing someone personally who would be killed by the police are slim to none. The end of the idea is that it is not a systemic problem in the United States of America.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 really is, when you talk about the answer, this is the answer for you and I. The Bible says here, and this is the Message Bible, and I love how the Message Bible puts it here, because we're talking about together, being one. It says, the way God designed our bodies, our human bodies, is a model for understanding our lives together as the church. So our human bodies, as we look at that, and we feel pain and suffering, and he'll talk about this in a moment, gives us an understanding of how we're supposed to function as a church. Every part depends on every other part. You guys understand that? The parts we mention and the parts we do not mention, or we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't see, the parts on the inside of us. If one part hurts, like if my little pinky hurts, now I'm kind of wimpy, but every other part of my body begins to hurt. Every part. And it's one little simple part, Pastor Richard.
You're weak.
Champ. I'm a lot tougher than you. I work out more than you.
That's because you waste your time working out when I spend time with my family and my children.
Champ.
Let them know how much I love them.
That's just because I'm vain, champ.
You're so vain.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is a... What movie is that off of? You know. I told you first service.
10 Things I Hate About You?
No. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
It's the same movie, isn't it?
No. There's no black people in that movie, so you probably don't want to watch it.
There's no black people in any of those movies, because black people wouldn't be in movies like that. They're stupid.
If one part hurts, every other part is involved, listen to this, in the hurt, and what else? In the healing. Again, if one of my brothers are hurting, I've got to hurt with them. I got to suffer with them. But I'm not just suffering, I'm also a part of the, you know that? You and I together, we're a part of the healing process. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance or rejoices with it. This is why we have to guard what we say. See, there's a lot of slogans that are going out right now, in particular is one you hear a lot called Black Lives Matter. Now, when you hear that, some other ethnicities, i.e. white folk, will begin to make a statement like, well, all lives matter. Now, that is true. Pastor Richard would agree with that. Yes, all lives do matter. But here's what we have to understand, is that when we make a statement like that, when somebody's saying black lives matter, and then you come back and say, well, all lives matter, what you are doing is you are closing the door for the gospel to go forth. Because I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to do it 1 Corinthians 12. I'm trying to bring healing to a nation that desperately needs it. And so I guard my words. I see Black Lives Matter as an open door for the gospel to go forth. And so as a white man, I don't make statements that close doors. I make statements that opens doors. That I can walk through with who Jesus is and what he's done for you and I. It's kind of like the issue Pastor Rich and I talked about when they talked about they had this thing. Did it go through the courts about the rebel flag? I forget. What was it?
Yes, South Carolina took the rebel flag down from the state capitol.
That's exactly right. And I told Pastor Richard, I said, you will never see a rebel flag anywhere around me. Number one, because I'm not a redneck. But number two, it's
Jesus
because
loves rednecks too.
He does. Why would I want to put something that's in my life around me that's going to bring division? I'm not going to do it, even though I have the right to do it. Just because it's a right, I'm trying to bring about racial reconciliation. So I guard what's around me. I guard my words. Because why? I want to bring healing. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are a church family. We are doing this together. Now, again, we don't legitimize any type of movement besides the movement of this word right here.
Amen.
Movement of this Bible. And therefore, whatever color you are today, let's seek reconciliation. Let's look to healing. Amen?
Good.
Pastor Richard, isn't that true?
That is true. You know, one of the things that I really see that the Black Lives Matter has missed is the answer for all the problems that we're facing. You know, I just wanted to tell a quick story that in last year, there was a church in South Carolina. There was a young man named Dylan that walked into a Bible study in the middle of a week in this very predominantly black church. When he walked into the Bible study, he actually asked, "Can I sit next to the pastor?" And he walks in, and they begin to have a Bible study. I believe they even prayed for this man. And then this young man began to kill 9 of the members of that Bible study in that church. And you would think in South Carolina, the potential for explosive anger and fanning the flames of racism, the potential was huge. And a few days after this, the news media caught wind of this. All of you probably remember this story. And the news was all over it. I mean, there were news. There's probably 25 different channels that were represented outside of this church telling the story about what this young man had done. And they found out that his goal, Pastor Lance, was to start a race war between black and white. And you didn't see too much after a few days went by. And the reason why is because a few days after this tragic event, this young man had his arraignment. It was the first time he was in front of a judge. And in South Carolina law, they allow the victims of family members to make a statement during the arraignment. And this was what was so amazing, is that they showed videotape of this on the news. And family member by family member of this church by church member, went to this arraignment, looked at this man through a television screen, and said, "You've stolen, you have robbed, and you have killed from us. You have taken something so precious to us that we can never get back. You have taken the life of my daughter, my brother, our pastor. You killed our pastor. But despite the fact that you did that, we forgive you." Person after person, they said, crying with tears. Mothers that will never see their sons again. They were so precious in their sight. And they said, "Even though you did this, we forgive this. We pray that God would grant you mercy." Yeah,
and here's the thing that you did not see.
That's right.
You didn't see race wars. You didn't see riots. You didn't see police cars on fire. You didn't see marches and rallies and protests. And it's because of one thing. Forgiveness killed the hostility. Radical forgiveness, radical grace, radical mercy ended the news coverage of this situation. If it had been any other situation, there would have been people going crazy. It would have been on the news for weeks and weeks waiting for something to happen. But because the people of God responded with grace and mercy,
hallelujah,
and forgiveness, nothing else happened. Now, there's an old saying in the black community, Pastor Lance, the revolution will not be televised.
But I can tell you this, there should be a revolution of radical grace and mercy and forgiveness that pours inside of us when we see these tragic events happening, and it will destroy any plan that the enemy has to destroy this nation through racism.
Come on, let's give God a hand clap. That's tremendous. That's exactly right. Jessica, you can come on up. You know, that is the answer. The answer is radical forgiveness. So as you and I, as we move forward today out of this church, number one, there is hope for us. The hope is in Jesus, but the hope is being displayed right here at Bethel Community Church. And we as a church are going to do some things here in the coming months to bring hope and healing to our community. Because it's one thing to happen here on Sunday morning. What here on Sunday morning has got to get out everywhere that we go. And so what we're going to do as a church is we're going to have this night of hope. We're going to invite you. We're going to invite our community. We're going to invite our police. We're going to invite our government officials. And we're going to watch God move like never before. Amen? So we have to ask the Holy Spirit to examine, Lord, is there anything in me, Holy Spirit? Is there racism, bitterness, unforgiveness? Is there anything in me that's caused me to detach myself from what's going on? Lord, help me to suffer. Help me to understand that I am in a new family. And if my brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering, I'm going to suffer with them. Help me to learn how to suffer together. Pastor Richard, tell them the other thing we're going to do.
You know, one of the things that all of us may have realized every time they come in this building is that there are two extremely large hands right above our doors when you walk through our building. We believe that this black and white hand, which could also be a brown hand and an Asian hand, they are a symbol for this church, but we believe that this symbol is a lot bigger than just Bethel Community Church. These hands, to be honest, in the condition and the state of our nation, they need to be on billboards.
Yeah,
they need to be in front yards. They need to be on bumper stickers. They are an image that racial reconciliation and unity are possible.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're doing is on Facebook, we have put a logo or a JPEG of these hands for you to use as a profile picture over the next several weeks as we lead up to this night of hope that we are doing. And when people start to ask you the question, what is that? What does that represent? You can tell them that racial reconciliation and unity are possible and that we are going to speak out against the racism prejudice in our community.
Tremendous. Let's stand to our feet. What I want us to do is I just want us to lock arms. I don't like holding hands, so let's just lock arms with one another as a sign of unity. There you go. As a sign of unity that as a church, we're standing together. Amen? Pastor Richard, why don't you pray for us?
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right here at Bethel Community Church. Lord, we don't consider it an accident that you have created a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church.
Hallelujah.
In this city, in this community for such a time as this. God, I pray that what you have started here at Bethel, it would not be limited just at Bethel. But God, the reality that we are one spiritual family in Christ.
Yes.
God, I pray that this message of radical reconciliation, radical grace, radical forgiveness, God, it would first permeate and enter our own hearts.
Yes, yes.
That you would search our own hearts, God, for the prejudices that we may have developed as a result of a lack of information or the news media telling us how we should think about other groups. God, I pray that you would deal with us first and foremost as the church. And as a representation of Jesus in this nation and in this city, God, I pray that we would be agents for you, God. We would be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we would hold up the ministry of reconciliation that you have given to us through your word. And God, I pray we would see Clarksville, Tennessee, shine like a city on the hill as you change it from the inside of the church to the outside. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Lord. Guys, if you need prayer, our prayer team will be standing down front. We believe in the power of prayer here at Bethel.